Thank you for listening to the Citizens Crime Commission Public Safety Podcast. The Citizens Crime Commission of Portland, Oregon is the leading voice of public safety. We are a nonprofit organization dedicated to mobilizing business leaders and citizens to reduce crime, improve civility, and strengthen communities. Our interim executive director is retired chief of police for the Portland Police Bureau, Mike Reese.
Welcome to another Citizens Crime Commission Public Safety Podcast. My name is Mike Reese, and thank you for joining me for this important conversation. Today, we have two guests in our studio, Bobby Regan and George Weatheroy. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk to Bobby first about an interesting endeavor that she's involved in. But Bobby, why don't you give our audience a little background information on the work that you've done in your professional past?
That sounds great, and thank you so much for this opportunity. So my husband and I moved to Portland when our kids were 1 and 4 because we wanted to send them to great public schools. We had no idea at the time that Measure 5 had passed. And so I immediately started working on school funding from the moment we got to Oregon. That was more than 20 years ago, and we are still fighting for a stronger investment in our kids and in our public schools. So I was a PTA president at 2 schools.
So I got to ask you, what schools did your kids go to?
So we started at Skyline Elementary, then Forest Park, East and West Sullivan, Lincoln. So I was PTA president at 2 of those schools on the Portland Public School Board for 12 years. I was also on the Oregon School Boards Association, which supports school districts all around Oregon. So I have a little sense of how things are done in other parts of the state. And since leaving the school board, I've stayed active in a variety of things, but especially I love the meetings with the Portland Peace Collaborative, which used to be the Portland Gang Task Force. And I think I stay involved in that area in particular because I have a pretty keen understanding that if we don't do well in ensuring that our kids graduate from school and move on to careers or college, that they very likely will end up somehow, some way, intersecting with the public safety system or using human services as they go. So I care deeply about public education.
Well, and you're involved in this new endeavor, an initiative petition that makes Oregon's high schools a much bigger priority. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So this is Initiative Petition 65, or IP65. It is called officially the High School Graduation and College and Career Readiness Act. And it would require the state to fund, and this is a very clever name, the High School Graduation and College and Career Readiness Fund. That would allow school districts across Oregon to add or expand in 3 different areas that we know are proven research-based practices. So high schools could add or expand career technical education. Back in our day, we called them vocational education.
That's right.
We could add or expand college-level courses for high school kids. And again, that could be advanced placement, international baccalaureate. It could be co-enrollment, dual enrollment with community college or university, and dropout prevention strategies. And with dropout prevention strategies, we have a particular focus on chronic absenteeism, because if kids don't show up for school, they don't learn.
So you had a really interesting graph that you showed me that really gets to the heart of why these programs are important. Can you explain how that works and why this initiative petition is so important to funding high school programs?
So we have a real urgent need to address Oregon's dismal high school graduation rates. Today, 74% of Oregon high school seniors graduate on time. That is the 47th worst graduation rate in the nation. We used to be dead last in Oregon. I mean, it's just shocking to people. But just as bad, when kids graduate from an Oregon high school and go on to community college, they're not prepared. We're not preparing our kids well for their next steps. And as an example, I will tell you that 73% of kids who graduate from an Oregon high school and go on to community college have to take remedial courses before they can get started. So remedial math, remedial reading or writing courses. We can do better than that. The graph that you're talking about was in the Portland Business Journal recently, and it shows that we know what works to improve our dismal high school graduation rates. And that graph shows that if students take one or more CTE, Career Technical Education class, during their high school career, they have a 15% higher chance of graduating. So the graduation rate for these students who take one or two CTE courses goes from 74% to almost 90%.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
When I was in high school at Roosevelt High School, a long time ago, shop classes and things like that, auto class was really popular, and it really served a group of students that wanted to learn vocational skills, something that they could take into the workplace immediately. Will this initiative, Petition 65, give kids those opportunities again? And if so, how does it fund it?
Yes, it will absolutely give them those opportunities. So again, there's three areas where this will support our kids. Some is providing these hands-on learning opportunities for kids through career technical education. And, you know, back in our day, it was home ec and auto mechanics and shop, you know, woods and metal. You know, today it's 3D printing, it's robotics, computer science, health occupations, architecture, engineering, culinary. I mean, it's a whole variety of areas. So you're right. These are the exact kinds of opportunities that keep kids engaged and also expose them to possible careers. And again, that keeps them engaged because they have something to work toward.
Well, how does the program, it's not a mandate. Schools opt in, is my understanding,
yes,
that you make, as a school district, you make a choice to be a part of this program. How is that funded and how do schools opt in?
Basically, the legislature is going to establish a fund, and it will be funded through new revenues that come into the state. Oregon is a growing state, a growing economy. As we get new revenues in each biennium, because the state funds on a two-year cycle, we are saying to the legislature, this is such an urgent need that we expect you to take a sixth of the new funds that come in the next legislative cycle. It's not paying for current services, a sixth of new revenues that come in. And we want you to dedicate these to improving our dismal high school graduation rates and helping us better prepare kids for their future. So this is not an unfunded mandate. A school district would opt in, say, yes, I want to participate. If they opt in, they would receive the equivalent of about $800 per student per year, again, to provide career technical education opportunities, college-level courses for their kids, and dropout prevention strategies. There would be a whole lot of control at the local level, how those funds would be used. For example, it's going to look different in Portland than it looks in La Grande or in Coos Bay. But we know that these are proven research-based practices that work, and our kids deserve these opportunities.
So with this initiative petition, what's the process that you're going through right now? Are you out gathering signatures and raising awareness?
Yeah, so we are in the signature gathering process now. In the first 5 weeks, we've already collected more than half of the signatures that we need. We need 88,000 plus signatures.
It's statewide.
Statewide by July 8th. So we're in that process now. Hmm. But simultaneously, we are out already talking to school board members and superintendents, high school principals, and community members and partners. So I can tell you that there's some groups that are really, really engaged and interested in this and actually have endorsed the measure. So for example, the Coalition of Communities of Color is an organization that's sort of an umbrella organization representing a whole variety of culturally specific organizations who represent students that we've typically left behind. I mean, they love this initiative. They've endorsed this initiative. But we also have industry and trades who are coming on board because in many, many industries, they are desperately looking for the employees of tomorrow. And we need to better prepare them. So Associated General Contractors has endorsed IBEW, which represents electrical workers. I mean, my dad was an electrician. How does a student understand that I can be an electrician, and this is a middle-income wage job, and it's actually kind of cool to do. So we're We're excited about where we're at. It will be on the November 2016 ballot. Our polling shows that it has tremendous support. And as people learn more about what it will fund, the support for it actually rises.
Well, I'm going to ask George to join us in this conversation because we met a few weeks ago and talked about kind of how the business community through the Citizens Crime Commission could engage some of these kids who aren't necessarily seeing school as a positive option. They're joining gangs or they're dropping out. And the Crime Commission is really interested in how can we assist in changing that dynamic. And as you mentioned, Bobby, one of the ways that kids stay engaged is through these really interesting programs. So, George, I'm going to ask you to jump in here. And if you won't, you and I have known each other a long time. We worked together at the Portland Police Bureau, but our audience may not know your extensive background and what you're doing right now. So can you introduce yourself?
Yes. First of all, I want to apologize. I have a bit of a cold, but I didn't want to miss this opportunity. I was born and raised right here in Portland, have lived my entire life in Portland. Went to Portland Public Schools all the way through elementary school. And then I got an opportunity to go to Jesuit High School. Graduated from Jesuit, went to Lewis and Clark College, but wound up getting my Bachelor of Science degree with Portland State University. Got hired on with the Portland Public School Police Department in 1987. And worked there until ballot measure 5 came into play in 2000, and we were fortunate enough to be able to merge with the Portland Police Bureau, where I got to work with the detective division. I was in the homicide detail, worked with the police bureau's version of CSI with this our forensic evidence division, and then Chief Reese selected me to head up the Youth Services Division, which was a great idea to put all of the youth programming under one umbrella. So I got to supervise the school resource officers. Then that brings me forward to my current position, which is I'm the Director of Security for Portland Public Schools.
Well, we've been talking about this initiative, Petition 65, and the opportunities for kids to stay engaged in school with career technical programs, IB programs, advanced placement. But you see the other side of the equation when kids don't stay engaged in positive school choices. If this initiative is successful, how do you think it's going to change the options that kids currently have?
Well, one of my philosophical approaches has been that the best way to reduce or eliminate the gang violence is to have our children be successful in school. I believe that if they're successful in school, then they look beyond high school. They look towards a career. They look at maybe going down the right road instead of the left road. And so many of the young people I've spoken to who are disinterested in school say it's boring. They don't like being lectured to. They're not real great with, unfortunately, the core classes, reading, math, and science. But they're still bright, but they're just not giving the effort because they're not being engaged. And so I see having the opportunities for the CTE classes where a lot of them are hands-on, where they're actually getting involved in doing something. And I think those types of opportunities will spark something inside of them where they want to do better, they want to go to school, they want to learn, instead of, well, I don't like school. Which, you know, I believe if you don't prove that you can learn, it's going to be hard to go down the right road, which opens up all of the things to the left, like criminal activity, gang violence. We used to even call them penitentiary chances, where they take all these negative chances that could land them into prison.
When I was in school, you had a lot of different options, whether it was music, art, sports, vocational opportunities, and we've mentioned Measure 5 and Measure 47 were ballot measures that kind of change that dynamic. Bobby, will this, in your opinion, you've been around the school funding issue in the past, will this really change that in a positive way?
I think this will help. We are in Oregon so far behind other states in terms of instructional time, class size, and a whole variety of areas. So this will help, but we need to invest more generally at the state level. The state school fund has got to reflect the investment that we want to put in our kids. You know, honestly, if legislators looked at education as an investment rather than an expense, we would make completely different decisions.
How so? What would they do differently?
Well, I think you would look at, when you look at the state budget, you're often looking at public education versus public safety versus human services. If you look at the short term, yes, we will keep investing more and more in public safety and human services. Today we have 10,000 kids a year are dropping out of school.
Statewide.
Statewide. So if you looked instead at investing in public education and ensuring that we get our kids all the way through. I mean, the state invested recently in full day kindergarten. That's great. We finally are catching up to the rest of the world in providing full day kindergarten. But that's going to take 13 years to see the results. With this investment, we're going to have a real commitment to the kids who are currently in the system, who we know are just as smart as every other kid across the state. And we'll have an opportunity to invest in ways that are really going to make a difference.
So, George, you were talking about some of the gang issues that we've had, and we haven't had, I don't think, as many gang problems at our public high schools as we've had in the past. Certainly when you and I were working patrol operations in the late 1980s, early 1990s, it was a different situation at the schools than it is now. They're relatively safe. I had kids who went to Wilson High School, and I coached there and went to schools all over the Portland public school system, coaching. So I was into all the high schools every year. What's the vibe on campus right now in terms of public safety?
Well, one of the things that we've tried to do with Portland Public Schools is to not let funding be an excuse to not make some changes. And when I speak of changes, I'm speaking of cultural changes. So often people say, well, we can't put cameras in every school, we can't put access doors, so we can't do anything. No, there's a lot that can be done. One of the first things is getting everyone to buy in that it's everyone's responsibility to keep us safe. And it's not snitching if you hear about something bad that may happen. It's just you taking your responsibility to tell someone that you trust that might prevent something from happening. So we really like to know how to respond appropriately, but spend a lot of time on prevention. So other ways that we do prevention is we're coming up with new visitor policies. So it's very difficult with 85 schools to get everybody to do something the same way. We're looking at appropriate behavior while you're on our campuses. We are working with parents to get them to follow the protocols and rules. We want folks to wear badges. We want everyone to be watching out, and if they see something suspicious, to say something. We can no longer just say, well, I don't want to get involved, because I think that's how things can, because my experience has been that the students know first.
And you see that often in social media and other ways that kids connect through the internet. Are you guys monitoring social media? Do you have a presence there? Are you paying attention to what kids are sharing on Facebook or Instagram or other avenues like that?
Yes. Matter of fact, part of the prevention strategy is the collaboration with the school resource officers. So they play a very important part in wanting to help our students graduate, as well as their presence helps to keep problems away. And then to get ahead of things, a lot of things that are seen on social media, whether it's by students or staff or the police, then we try to follow up on that and head it off before it can actually materialize. And social media, unfortunately, has been one of the biggest distractions that we've had in school the last few years. So it can be from threats, it could be gang violence, sexting, intimidation. There's so many areas and so many hours that our administrators are spending, but we have to take every single one seriously.
You work very closely with the Portland Police Bureau School Resource Officers in their Youth Services Division. How many security personnel do you have on campus in the Portland Public School System?
So in my office, I have two security managers, and I have an emergency preparedness manager. And I have 28 campus security agents. 21 of them are assigned to our 10 high schools, and then 7 of them are substitutes or floaters that if a middle school or a K-8 is experiencing a problem, we're able to place them there to help troubleshoot.
And how does the interface with the Youth Services Division work? Do you have SROs on every high school campus in Portland?
Yes, I'll keep my personal opinion out of this. I think they're way understaffed, and they do amazing work for how small of a unit that they are. It takes a special kind of an officer to be a school resource officer, just like it does to be a gang enforcement team officer or a special emergency response team officer. These officers are not in the unit to try to see how many arrests they can get, how many kids they can put in the criminal justice system. It's just the opposite, where they want to see how they, as police officers, can play an integral part in helping students graduate. So on the smaller issues, let's do restorative justice. Let's let the school do the discipline. They, whenever we have any kind of threat situations and it's supposed to happen at the beginning of the day, they come and they help us. They combine with our unarmed security to provide eyes and ears and discourage anyone from carrying out these threats. They work at our games and our dances and our graduations, and they teach gang resistance education and training courses, which have graduated 57,000 students from that program. Needless to say, I'm a big fan of theirs, and I work very closely with the sergeants who supervise those officers multiple times every day.
In your opinion, these SROs are really important to the success of keeping a safe, healthy school?
Yes, I think it's like many different things where there's multiple layers. So I see a huge advantage for Portland Public Schools, Park Rose, and David Douglas, which is the focus of a Youth Services Division. But ever since Ferguson, there's been a different type of policing that's going on now. And there's an extra emphasis on building relationships in the people of color community with the mental health. And I think that your Youth Services Division is probably the best community policing group of folks that they have. Portland Public Schools is very diverse, and here you have our officers who are loved by the students and get a chance to see them in a different light versus maybe some officers who don't have the same lens that these officers have.
Certainly with our school resource officers, they have a better relationship with members of the youth community, and they just approach their job again. I like the way you framed it. They're there to help kids graduate, keep them out of the criminal justice system, and do everything they can to make these kids positive members of our community.
I just want to add on to this. You know, whenever budgets come up and, you know, all the programs are so important, and they look at the school resource officers, and they have to, I should say, most organizations are data-driven decision-making organizations. They want the data. You say something's a certain way, show me the data. So as an example, they did this past year, they took 6,000 calls for service. So you got 12 officers.
Our school resource officers took 6,000 calls for service at the schools, I take it.
Yes. No, not all at Portland Public, but all of the six school districts that they kind of respond to. Of those 6,000, during the past 3 years, there were only 90 arrests. And so most of the things that they're doing is problem solving, diffusing. They're trying to get the suspect and the victim to come to an understanding instead of trying to see, you know, okay, let's arrest this person as a first alternative. And so I think that's one of the biggest statistics, because I was always curious at, well, what are the numbers? And because I didn't see a whole lot of arrest. I saw a lot of them diffusing situations.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in today and sharing your expertise and your knowledge with our Citizens Crime Commission audience. Is there something that our board members can do to help with IP65 or to help with the safety of our students on our campuses?
So your board is made up of influential business people who care deeply about our city and about our community and about public safety. So I hope your board would, first of all, look at our website. It's www.ip65.org, and lend a hand.
And George, the larger question, the conversation we had a few weeks ago about getting the business community engaged with our high school kids, particularly some of the kids who are on the edge of joining a gang, or maybe they've got siblings that have gone down that path. What can the business community do to help with that group of students?
First of all, showing this interest that they have in wanting to help is huge. You know, that's the foundation. And then secondly, I do a boys to men group, and there are many other groups around the city where the wisdom that the members of this crime commission have, and going and talking face to face with these young people and telling them about the challenges they faced when they were younger and how they overcame them, and what were the moral values that they had that kept them on the right path instead of the left path. And then the you know, just mentoring. A lot of these young people don't have maybe positive male role models and are looking for someone, doesn't matter what color, gender, it's just someone who cares. You know, and if you care, they see that. And that can be inspiring, where someone like you and I know, somebody told us, hey, you can do it. Right, you can do it. And I think a lot of them need to hear that from someone, that they can do it.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here today and for joining our Citizens Crime Commission Public Safety Podcast. And to all of you listening, thank you as well. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this important conversation. To learn more about the Citizens Crime Commission, visit our website at pdxccc.org or like us on Facebook. You can also follow our interim executive director, Mike Reese, on Twitter at Chief Reese. Have a great day and stay safe.